Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, South Bay Spotlight, on January 11th, 2018. Live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and it's a really beautiful place to do just that.
The South Bay Show is brought to you by the Academy of Foreign Languages. If you have any interest in learning a new language or brushing up on existing language skills, you should know about the Academy of Foreign Languages. Located in Palos Verdes, the Academy of Foreign Languages specializes in the art of communication. Their mission is to provide the finest language instruction possible. They recognize that each student has distinctive needs and craft their teaching technique to optimize an individual's particular learning skills. At the Academy of Foreign Languages, they strive to create a comfortable environment conducive to learning. So whether you're learning a new language or would simply like to converse in your native tongue, the Academy of Foreign Languages can accommodate you. For additional information, visit their website at academyofforeignlanguages.com, that's all spelled out, or call 310-975-4133.
I'm your host, Joe Terry, and you can read all about our many adventures on Facebook at facebook.com/The South Bay Show. Persistence, passion, principle, and purpose, that's what we talk about here on The South Bay Show. And of course, I'm not alone because of our great partnership with South Bay by Jackie.com and executive producer of The South Bay Show, Jackie Balestra. But Jackie is not here. Jackie is having, I hope, a wonderful time, and she is currently away. She's not here today. But again, I'm not alone because this show, ladies and gentlemen, is about a very interesting topic that has kind of taken over my life in the last several months, and that is the cryptocurrency craze. With me today is the founder of South. I also have a South Bay specific cryptocurrency meetup called South Bay Cryptocurrency, and we're going to talk about all of that. This is a very interesting interview. I hope David Howard is with me today, and the write-up for South Bay Crypto is around the world, Bitcoin has surged both in awareness and price. Let's meet up and chat. All experience levels and ages are welcome to come. We will have group chats to begin and build our community and understanding of cryptocurrency, as well as encourage breakout sessions. Participants are welcome to self-identify their current level of understanding to facilitate the best level of conversation. We can cover technical analysis, fundamental analysis, mining, exchanges, cold storage, and more. And with that introduction, David, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
It's so great to be with you this morning. Thank you. I am so glad to have you with me because I think as a monologue, this show would have been somewhat boring. I've found that monologues are rarely interesting. I mean, I can talk on and on and on, but it isn't as interesting to because with someone else you have this dynamic that really makes it much more interesting for the audience. And so I'm thrilled that you've been able to join me today. So let me start, do with most interviews, David. What is your background? What do you do professionally?
Professionally, I am a supply chain manager. What that means is I'm one of those kind of office workers / operations folk that typically work in manufacturing. And so I help raw materials get to the manufacturing site that I work at. So that means logistics and purchasing primarily. And then that also will obviously involve operations as the goods are assembled. There's always quality issues. It's kind of this wide spectrum. And so sometimes when I'm having a good laugh, people will say, oh, it sounds like you're in sales. And they said, no, who do you think sales sells to? And there's always this pause. Oh, okay, you buy. So that's
okay.
That's kind of my background quickly in a nutshell. I worked in defense and aerospace, medical industries, a few places in SoCal, as well as across the United States.
Is there something in your background that you think that predisposes you for being involved in cryptocurrency?
Oh, that's a great question. What's one, many facets. one of them is finance that makes sense on the ground. So I'm making day-to-day purchases, trying to make, I make about 1,000 decisions in a day and hope about 900 of them are right. and then turn into a conflict manager. So having that practical finance kind of feeling, on top of my job requires me to always be working with people in other departments that may be subject matter experts. So that would be, you know, an engineer who knows the ins and outs of a product. Then I may need to go work with somebody in finance to do an Excel spreadsheet and show them the return on investment for a certain design or running change. So all of that led me into a realm where being willing to connect with people and say, I don't know this, it appears you do, maybe I can help you, you can help me. And it starts these almost micro transactions where you can form almost a autonomous company outside of any realm, you know, where they've usually existed throughout history. Now you're on the blockchain. And so that's kind of where, through just simple free time, is how I kind of stumbled upon Bitcoin years ago. That this personality and these things that just so happened to be in my tool belt kind of allowed me to get plugged in quickly.
So it has something to do with the back and forth complexity and need to resolve sort of issues in supply chain that perhaps predisposed you to be exposed to this before perhaps other people would be.
In the way that I dived in, definitely, which we'll talk in more detail. But having this background, where I'm usually the person walking fast in the hallway that looks really worried. So whether you're a miner, a trader, or whatnot, having a certain or obtaining a certain skill set is only going to, you know, thrust you forward into this. It's just so multifaceted that you can't know everything.
Right.
You just need to start forming either your own base knowledge and learn those things, which will be required when you first get started. And then in other ways, you can start to either rely on technical sources as an input or a data point, and then kind of make your own, again, best financial judgment.
Right. So as we talked before the show, David, I am an educator. I like to think of myself as an educator, and I want this to be educational for people. And I also want people to have takeaways from this. Pointers and resources that they can use to do further investigation on their own. And also, I would love for people that are listening live today, January 11th, 2018 at 8 a.m. If you're listening live, please join us in the conversation. Give us a call at 7-1- currency, because it is such a new development, and we'll talk about that as well. And another resource for you would be YouTube. There's a lot of bad YouTube videos about cryptocurrency. There are a lot of pump and dump scams out there, and Ponzi schemes, and all kinds of craziness like that. But there's one resource. Andreas Antonopoulos. This is a gentleman of Greek heritage. His name is Andreas Antonopoulos, and you can find his YouTube channel at AAntonOP. That's AAntonOP. So Andreas Antonopoulos or AAntonOP, you can find him on YouTube. And his videos are amazing. He is also affectionately known as the Bitcoin Boy. He teaches, and he's kind of, I call him a Bitcoin philosopher. He's one of my favorite YouTubers. So, David, you format, I want to ask you, so when did you get involved with cryptocurrency? When was the time, and how did that happen? What was the first moment you realized, hey, I'm talking about cryptocurrency with somebody, and I don't even know what that is?
Yeah, this is a great story. I always go back to how it takes kind of a village to bring in a new person for cryptocurrency, and I hope my story kind of highlights that. So the year was 2013, September. I had just started a new job. My job had stayed open in that position, I guess, for a year before I'd gotten there. So there was kind of this awkward transition period where I had a lot of downtime. So I just so happened to be killing some time that day, saw the news, Silk Road had occurred, and that's where there was a large drug bust. A deep web website had been shut down. I believe there were a few arrests made. And then that's kind of what made news that day. And I thought, oh, Bitcoin, huh? I've never heard about it before. I didn't like the deep web, dark web aspect. I maybe spent 5 minutes on it and then just kind of forgot about it for maybe a day. And then, of course, you know, your Google News or whatever is always trying to remind you of what you just looked at. So I think a few articles started hitting my newsfeed some more about Bitcoin, and it just kind of started turning into that, this seems really interesting. And I might have explained shortly, I have, you know, a little bit of a financial background. I had seen stocks like Tesla. That was the IPO of the year that it came out. During the recession, I saw Ford when it was at $3 or $4 and thought, this is insane. These are great buys. But I didn't actually do anything on those feelings, those educated feelings. It was finance. There's this gut feeling. There's the real world. It's all coming together where you feel like you're in a unique position to make change or to make an opportunity happen. So I had $1,000 in my checking account at the time. And Bitcoin was at, I want to say, like $120. And so I thought, well, maybe I can do this. So I think I bought two or three my first day. And then after that, it was kind of like, well, you know, I've gotten my feet wet. Let's see how this goes. Currently, I was going and looking at Craigslist for mining equipment. So I typed in Litecoin miner. One result came up, and it was a guy from, I think it was in Culver City, selling just a normal computer, but had two graphics cards in it. And I would come to later find out he had been mining Litecoin for at least a year or two, I believe. I think he had been there since the beginning, and I have to look at my math there. And that guy ended up being the first, I don't know what you would call it, most likely a mentor, teacher, for no good reason other than his own passion into Bitcoin and Litecoin and mining. Me and him would talk for hours a day. This was just somebody we did a transaction over Craigslist. Every day, morning and night, I was talking to this guy more than my own girlfriend at the time. And he taught me so much. And then in January, I think it was, or February of 2014, we saw Litecoin hit $50 or something for the first time, or something crazy. And I never heard from him again. I can't find my old cell phone that had his number, the email. I mean, maybe I can find that. I feel like it was all done over text. So to me, in this world, he's kind of disappeared. And maybe that was even better, the way that Satoshi disappeared to Bitcoin. Because now that I've been in this long enough, and I have plenty more stories to go from there, there's always this ebb and flow of, you know, information. And the discerning mind will start to accept in good information and block out the bad, and you'll start to find people like this guy, you know, out in the real world where they have a depth of knowledge and the patience to tell you, and they're not trying to get your money. So in Bitcoin, sometimes
right.
you'll find that, you know, there's an angle and someone's trying to sell you. This guy was honestly just the best first example I could have had. And from there, and I always encourage this with other people, is I started to form a network just through online interactions. And so for 4 years stayed predominantly online, which led me to just a few days ago, I was so excited. I hadn't used Meetup too much and saw that, you know, the Hollywood was so active. But being in the South Bay, that's just not necessarily practical given the timing. So I thought, well, let's see if I can get something started here. And if I can have one person show up, I will be so ecstatic. And then sure enough, unless it's a bunch of internet trolls messing with me, at least we know you're real, Joe. We're going to have hopefully a great turnout tonight. I already talked to the restaurant. They're excited to have us. I've already actually talked to other bars and breweries too. And this kind of thing, like they're really excited to have this kind of space occur. So I hope this is the beginning of something beautiful.
Yeah. Now, just want to reemphasize, ladies and gentlemen, there is going to be South Bay Crypto. The inaugural event for South Bay Crypto will happen tonight, January 11th, 2018, at Hudson House, which is at 514 North Pacific Coast Highway in Redondo. And it's going to be the first meeting of this, what is being described as Bitcoin and Brew, South Bay Crypto Meetup. So you really want to think about joining. What time is it, David?
At 5:30. And I'll be there at 5 o'clock when the doors open.
Okay. And what are we going to the roundtable? I read a description, but can you explain how you expect it to go? What do you want to do?
Yeah, absolutely. So guests will be welcomed. We're all going to be just sitting together in one kind of section. And so the idea is that as our group starts to grow, that we kind of first start as a whole group and get to know each other, maybe a few icebreakers, and hopefully we can start to remember one another's name. And then based upon our skill levels, I want to do kind of hopefully two different rounds of prompted conversations. So I like it when experts get to sit with experts and they get to really hone in on some of their skills and they get to have a different conversation than, say, a group of new people talking with me, all just getting started, all just learning some of these things. And then what I love about Bitcoin is how it mixes us all up. So then the second round, I want to see some new people sit with some older people and the middle guys just get to disperse among all. So then we're all peppering more topics, building not only just relationships in this group, but also getting to hear more and more about Bitcoin. And really the cryptocurrency realm, we use Bitcoin as kind of just now it represents many more things than just Bitcoin itself, but cryptocurrency. From mining to analysis, people are always happy to tell you about their coin they think is going to be the next big one. So it's great to have an in-real-life group where we can build trust among each other the way that I've seen that done through online communities.
Okay. So now, you know what, I think some definitions are in order because, again, this is the first show that you and I, David, have done, and I think – some definitions are in order. So let's start off with one of my favorite things to do with new people is, what is a cryptocurrency? Or I don't know how you want to start. What do you think the first question and the first answer should be in this whole space? What do you think that should be? And I have an idea
I think
as
it
well.
Starts with what is Bitcoin, and that is such a fun question. I think that's the easiest question to ask and one of the harder ones to answer. But in the shortest way, Bitcoin is internet decentralized money. And when we go down that rabbit hole of what that means, just the way that in the beginning, the internet kind of just meant email and kind of information. What Bitcoin has transformed into from being internet decentralized money has turned into a whole new sector and industry that allows, you know, people to connect over distances very quickly. The way that the internet was for information, this is the internet of money.
Now, David, of course, I have been sending emails since the beginning of email. But when I send a picture to someone, then now I have the picture still, and then they have a copy. I can send it to another person. Now I have the picture still, and they have a copy. When I send $10 to some person via Bitcoin, why don't I continue to have the money and they have the money and it's a copy problem? And how did Bitcoin solve that problem?
So Bitcoin has a central ledger system. So unlike email where it's duplicating information and sending it across space, this is actually debiting your Bitcoin on the blockchain and crediting it to someone else.
Right.
This ledger is processed about every 15 minutes. It updates, and that's through the blockchain that miners, these computers spread out through the whole world competing against one another, are all processing these transactions and confirming them. So through the blockchain technology, these miners kind of reject out bad transactions, confirm good ones. So by their first confirmation now, and actually it's people are saying 6-2, that starts to get a little more technical. But once it's been confirmed, even just once, that is a infallible transaction. And like cash, your money's now gone. You can never get it back. So it's important as a side note that you treat it that way.
Right. It's one of my favorite things to take, Pete, because I believe that Warren Buffett is famously bearish on Bitcoin. Warren Buffett, one of the greatest investors of the 20th century by far, is a value investor. He invests in solid companies that have a real business, as he would say.
Yeah.
He and Charlie Munger are legendary for their willingness to bet big on solid companies, but he does not think anything of Bitcoin.
Yeah.
And one of my favorite things, and I believe this is a generational thing. One of my favorite things to talk about when it comes to Bitcoin is that, you know, every cryptocurrency wallet, the way that you keep Bitcoin is in a wallet, has a private key, and your private key is your right to control that wallet. And the private key is just a number. It's just a number. But it's a number from 1 to 10 to the 77th power. And that space, that random number between 1 and 10 to the 77th power, is a space larger than any real physical quantity in our known universe. And it's just a number, but it's a random number in a space so large that it doesn't matter. People ask me every once in a while, well, what if two Bitcoin wallets have the same private key? Well, it's possible, and it's okay, except that if you ever converge, I mean, if you're on the Bitcoin network, you're both going to have control of the same wallet. So that won't work. If you're controlling different wallets, like if you have the same key on Litecoin and you have the same private key on Bitcoin, then it's all fine and you'll never conflict.
Right.
And, you know, no one will ever know because you won't tell each other.
Yeah, I never thought about that with Bitcoin. That's kind of funny.
Yeah.
I wonder if the encryption, so with your wallet, for those listening, you have the option to encrypt it, which everybody should do. That's with a password that you can never recover. So in that situation where the people had the same address, I wonder if who encrypted it first would then own it, or, you know, that's a, it's a funny hypothetical.
Yes. Now,
I'm learning things we speak.
So definitions. Okay. What, David, what is, and we'll focus on Bitcoin because most people know, and if they don't know, there's hundreds, if not thousands, of cryptocurrency coins, but we'll focus on Bitcoin because that makes the discussion more concrete. What is a miner?
That's a great.
What is a miner?
Yeah, a miner, mining equipment, all these references to something that sounds out of a Clint Eastwood movie, is computers. So that may mean your CPU, your graphics card. It could mean a specialized miner that are now coming out. What those are just computers processing the blockchain. They do this through many different security protocols. The blockchain is one of the most secure things, I believe, and man, that we've created so far. Banks are starting to utilize it. There's a lot of cool uses for it. So miners are the computing power behind it. And really, it doesn't take too much computing power to process a blockchain. The reason so much computing power exists and people do it is because there's an economic reward. So as a miner, you're using your electricity to power that mining equipment. Let's just call it a computer for now. That computer,
right.
And you're using that electricity, your graphics cards or your computer is working really hard, and you're exchanging your power for processing the blockchain, and now you're getting a reward out of that. So miners are kind of an economic engine almost behind the blockchain. And as people look at, say, the price of Bitcoin and where it's headed, miners are a huge portion of that, and as we've seen recently, have a lot of control.
Right.
And it's also a great
hobby.
I mean, it sounds kind of serious there. Personally, I'm a miner. I have some script ASICs. So these are the specialized computers that are for a different coin other than Bitcoin called Litecoin and a few other similar ones. And they're pretty much plug and play. They're just very, very difficult to get, and they're from China. And you won't have good customer service. I'm sorry to say that, but these computers do what they're made to do and will run for hopefully about two years.
And how much, if you don't mind my asking, David, how much, what's the name of your miner and how much did it cost?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I have a Innos Silicon A4 Plus. So there's also an A4 that they've now discontinued. This is the newer model, the A4 Plus. It does 620 mega hash. For those who are more advanced, that will make sense. If you're new, that's just a number to you right now. So 620 mega hash script mining at 750 watts. So right now, that's the most that's the most efficient miner of this type currently on the market. And then in a few months, there may be a competitor that's going to be a little bit better, but most likely just about the same.
Now, what that is called, what this first wave, this is, you know, Bitcoin was born, believe it or not, on Halloween in 2008. That was the first posting of Satoshi Nakamoto's white paper on Halloween 2008. Bitcoin, peer-to-peer digital cash. And the bottom line on mining is that that is proof of work. That is, the miners secure the network through this work by participating in this random lottery, guessing, putting these transactions together and guessing what's called the nonce or the key to that block. And then once they got it right, everybody else agrees, that miner is allowed to add a block to the blockchain, and then they get the reward. And the reward currently today is an unbelievable 12.5 Bitcoin, which, you know, and all the – it's a very egalitarian sort of designed to be random and also designed to be fair algorithm so that minors in general, as they participate, will eventually get a reward, or if they're a part of a pool, their pool will get a reward, and so it can be profitable over time. 12.5 Bitcoin at this point. I don't even think I can do the math, but let's just round numbers. About $200,000. Is that right? Yeah. Or
175.
Just a little less.
Yeah, 175,200 at today's price.
Okay,
price
at today's
price.
Of the global miners as they participate, essentially every 10 minutes, somebody wins the lottery, a consensus occurs that a particular miner has indeed found the next block that should be added to the blockchain and are awarded 12.5 Bitcoin, which is about $175,000. So, and if you don't really have a lot of power, Bitcoin is not the place to be, because there are very, very large entities around the world that are involved in Bitcoin mining. Litecoin mining is a little bit better, and there's, you know, a cascade of other coins that you could be mining, which are much easier. And some of them specifically focus on making it more egalitarian and more appropriate for someone that has a computer at home that they want to use for mining mm-hmm. with graphics cards. And one of them is in fact Bitcoin Gold, a fork recently. Bitcoin Gold is much more appropriate for mining at home. And I think last time I checked, it was like $350 a coin. And so it was actually a very profitable coin to mine with graphics cards. I don't remember what the algorithm is, but what we're talking about is proof of work. There is another consensus algorithm out there mm-hmm. that you can use to secure the network, and it's called proof of stake. That's when a computer just basically is you buy coins and you install the coins in the server, and basically the server can then prove to the network that it has control of a certain number of coins and that they have not been spent. And basically the network says, okay, you have a stake. You have something to lose. We're going to allow you to participate in the network and perform services for the network based on the fact that you have something of value at stake that is to lose if you're a malicious actor. And you get paid. You get paid by the blockchain on a regular basis. I actually have a business revolving around this concept. They're called masternodes. Masternodes are computers that participate in some networks, not Bitcoin, but other networks. For instance, Dash, you can find out more at dash.org. dash.org. Dash is another cryptocurrency that split off from Bitcoin in 2014, and they have implemented masternodes. And then after them, many other coins were created that implemented masternodes. And you just put up a server, you install some coins that you've purchased, and that server just runs 24/7 serving the community and getting paid. And it's a beautiful thing called proof of stake. So proof of work, proof of stake. Now, what's the next thing that we should define, the next word that we should define for people, David?
Ooh, that's a great question. There's an acronym. There's a few acronyms. There's just a lot. I think the first one I would just say is, you know, a lot of this is internet language. So like LOL, we have Laugh Out Loud. This is D-Y-O-R.
Yeah.
Do your own research.
Yeah.
My father got into Bitcoin, I think about 6-8 months ago, which really has been a golden time now for entry. We didn't know that. And what's been interesting is having my father, who's a very smart investment guy, he does this for a living, just now getting into Bitcoin, and the way that we look at information and who's saying what. So, for instance, you said Warren Buffett earlier, you know, maybe this isn't his kind of investment, but he'll publicly say, you know, it's going to pop. It's not a good thing. It's all going to cascade one day. J.P. Morgan Chase, the CEO, blanking on his name, but he said something similar. It's a fraud. I think more recently,
Jamie Dimon,
kind of
or as we call
yeah,
him, Jamie
yeah.
Demon. Jamie the Demon.
Yeah. I can't say his last name.
It's Dimon, D-I-M-O-N.
Dimon?
But,
okay.
It is D-I-M-O-N, but the cryptocurrency people I listen to call him Jamie the Demon.
Jamie the Demon. I love that. So now Jamie the Demon. So there's people out there that are like that are big figureheads that are talking negatively about it. Conversely, there may be people you've never heard about it saying very positive things. So just as with politics or when you're buying a car, let's say, you need to make sure you're grounding your feet in your reality and logic and listening to multiple people and getting multiple sources and making the best decision you can. Yes, it can be like the horse races where you get a hot tip. Hey, you should buy today or you should buy this. But like hanging out at the horse races, there's people there maybe not with your best interest in mind, only their own interests. So in some ways, this can be like the wild, wild west. The way that the SEC regulates securities is one thing, and that's entering the crypto realm. But for the larger part, public figures can disparage Bitcoin with untrue information and buy that same day. They can manipulate price. Just for one example. So do your own research. Just always reminds people. I try to say it daily. Just, hey, I heard this, but do your own research. Because maybe I've read five other things that I know that makes what I'm saying not true. But I just so happen to be telling you the one thing that I think, well, maybe it could be, but I think it's not true. So it's just important that with all this information out there that we handle with cryptocurrency, it's so important to do your own research because at the end of the day, it's your money and it can vanish very quickly.
Yeah, along with that, I want to start off with one thing that I also tell people a lot in this space. First of all, any program or any organization, any company that you read about on the internet, any company that someone comes and talks to you about, where they say, give me your money, and I promise to give you your money back plus more money in the future, stay away from those companies. Run from those companies. And I'm thinking specifically of one called BitConnect. There's a company out there called BitConnect. And it is a Ponzi scheme. It's a part of what is a sort of on the internet called high yield investment programs, where basically they say, oh, you can make a percent a day, you can make a percent and a half a day, or whatever they say. These schemes work in the beginning, but they are based on the fact that as new people come in, their money is distributed to the people that have been in before. And at some point, those systems collapse. This is called a Ponzi scheme. And there's lots and lots of those out on the internet. And because it's cryptocurrency and because it's digital and nearly infinitely divisible, it seems to be easier for these schemes to be done with cryptocurrency. And it's harder and harder for the regulators to control because the money does not flow through normal channels of money, that is PayPal and all these other electronic forms of you know, moving money back and forth. Many of them leave fingerprints, but of course digital currency doesn't leave fingerprints like that for the regulators to follow. So these schemes are multiplying at a ferocious path or rate, and you need to be aware. If someone comes to you, like I'd have another company that I love called iCoin Pro, they say, give us $39 a month, and we promise we will never give you your money back. It's $39 a month. We will simply teach you how to trade profitably cryptocurrencies. We'll take your $39 every month. You'll never see it again, but we will train you and teach you how to trade cryptocurrencies profitably, and you'll join a community and you'll learn, and it's exciting and interesting, and of course it's real. This is a real thing that people take your money and say, we'll never give it back, but we will teach you how to feed yourself, like the story of the teach a man how to fish versus giving him a fish he can eat. You give him a fish he can eat today, you teach him how to fish he can eat for a lifetime. That's the company iCoin Pro. Love that company. Love what they do. Do you have any other, what's the next sort of concept that we should clarify for people?
I just wanted to piggyback on that last thought. I think we've done a great job talking about some of the kind of darker sides, getting people greatly aware, just, I think, for the risk. And I just wanted to add one more that's easy to fall into is the cloud mining. You're so excited about Bitcoin and you want to mine, and they say, we can give you so much mining. It's kind of the same idea that you're giving them a large chunk and then you hope you get back plus interest. Majority of those have ended up to be scams as well. And even the ones that actually were reputable just ran into real business problems and still had terms and conditions where they could keep your money. So that's just kind of the last tidbit I'd probably toss out there. I think we've done a great job of talking about some of the risks. There's huge upsides in the emerging technology and kind of what this means. So Bitcoin has remained the grandfather. It's the original gangster in cryptocurrency. And still stays that way. And I just want to make sure everybody gets the opportunity to maybe just breeze through some of the other coins. I use a website, CoinMarketCap.com.
Right.
CoinMarketCap.com. Very often, it can be a little misleading because you'll see large percentages up and down on the right-hand side, and that's kind of the 24-hour clock, which, of course, in cryptocurrency, there's large changes. Just use this page just for this, your first time going through, or if you've been out there more, kind of treat it as this is a dashboard. And to get the real news, you need to drill down. So that's also going to take you to certain places is kind of a very public forum that, be careful of. But there is some great information out there and can be a good tool. And it'll also show you some of the Twitter feeds and the markets where these coins do exist. This is where I'm stressing the do your own research part. But as you start to grow in cryptocurrency, that's still a place I use to every day. Hitting refresh and checking on coins and whatnot. So just wanted to get that one out there. Mm-hmm. And then one of the other ones that helps me is TradingView.com. This website allows people to post technical analysis. So that's where people are using the chart and the actual price fluctuations and volumes, moving averages.
Now, what is that again?
All of the,
you said trading
TradingView? Yeah, trading.
Because I just
view.
Went to TradingView.com and I didn't get it. Trading View. Oh, there we go.
Yeah, it just came.
Sorry.
Okay, yeah. So this is actually includes the stock market as well. So if you're a stock person, you can also use this. This is a great place to do your own research, of course. This is where people of all walks of life, from experienced to beginners, chat, as well as the main thing is they can post their ideas. So this is where you can see on a given day maybe 5 or 6 decently respected people online posting their ideas of where they think Bitcoin will go. And you can see that at a 30-minute level some days. Other days you're looking at a one-week level or a year level. So this kind of helps gauge the storm. You never truly know. Nobody knows what's going to happen. It's just forecasting methods to hopefully make you slightly better trader. And so that's just a tool I pepper very often. And just it's a place to kind of like check space. What are people thinking? And then, of course, what do I think? I do know technical analysis. I don't know if that's something that we can easily do over the phone or over the radio discussing. But that's something, in person at the meetups. That's one angle that I'd love to begin with, because it's almost an art form, even though there is a lot of
right.
math. And there's so many people
right.
that are better than myself that it's one area that's kind
right.
of like, oh, you can do that too. Like, and so that's where I hope within our community we're able to, you know, point out some people that can also lead topics and whatnot. And then the new people can bring snacks or something. No, just kidding.
what I would encourage people to read about. Now, there are many different ways of doing, I mean, there's as many different ways as there are traders to do technical trading or fundamental technical analysis. But I love Bollinger Bands. There's a whole community out there that uses this way of viewing the volatility of a stock called a Bollinger Band. John Bollinger created it. And Bollinger, Bollinger Bands, I use those in my technical analysis for a stock to determine when I want to get in and to plan when I'm coming out. And I don't trade, there's buy and hold or HODL, as it's called, H-O-D-L, hold on for dear life, H-O-D-L. So there's HODLing. And that you don't need any skill. You just pick a particular cryptocurrency and you buy it and you don't ever sell it until it hits your target that you think you'll sell at because you want to make a profit, and then you're good. You're out. But using Bollinger Bands would be for much, much more high frequency trading, whether it's by the hour, by the minute, whatever. That would be appropriate for Bollinger Bands. And research on those techniques. Now, David, we're coming towards the end of the show. I want to make sure I give out some URLs for people to do their own research. You definitely brought up the number one kind of site that people go to find out what is happening in the valuation of various cryptocurrencies. It's Coin, singular, C-O-I-N, Coin, marketcap.com. I'd like to refer you to my website, which is masternodeconsulting.com. Masternode, just like it sounds, master, N-O-D-E, masternodeconsulting.com. Do you have a website for South Bay Crypto yet, or just should people just Google South Bay Crypto?
Right now, the best way to get in contact with me is through the meetup. I need to expand it right after this call because it's growing faster than I ever could have hoped. And then I'm currently in the process of branding. Somebody already took South Bay Crypto, and I have SouthBayCryptoCurrency.com. So probably be swapping with some people and finding out, you know, or joining forces. So the best way for me, if you're curious or, you know, want to talk some more, would be using the meetup app, South Bay Crypto. And my name is David Howard, and tonight we're doing the meetup at Hudson House. It starts at 5:30. Everybody's welcome, and we'll just begin to know each other a little socially before we, you know, try to figure out the next steps, whether we want to do a class on technical analysis, we want our next meetup just to be sitting in front of a computer, or, hey, we just do brews and Bitcoin and have some beers and chat, either way. So everybody's welcome tonight at Hudson House at 5:30.
No, I did tell you that I had already started a meetup, a South Bay. My meetup is South Bay Cryptocurrency.
Oh, okay.
That's
so weird.
And,
I was looking around and I couldn't find anything.
We started probably right near the same time. And your meetup. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's funny. We were doing the same thing.
Absolutely. And your meetup, though, you first decided to come out with a free meetup for people to just come and meet. My concept was I'm charging $35 for tickets to go to this meetup. And the reason that I'm charging money is because I wanted a space that was quiet and comfortable, that we had internet, and that I had a large screen monitor so people could see, then we could go to websites and look at resources and people could bring their own laptops and There's, as I say, there's Wi-Fi, so people could bring their own laptops. They could also maybe even trade cryptocurrency live right there.
Yeah.
Cool.
Between them, they can actually do deals and trade cryptocurrency and in an environment where they feel, oh well, I've seen this person, you know, months and months
absolutely.
In a row. I kind of know them. I have their phone number. I know where they live. Blah blah blah. So it's a safe environment to do that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And there you go. So.
Yeah, I think it was just similar minds. My concept was just, I love beer. I love Bitcoin. I couldn't throw any more bees in there without getting probably into too much trouble. So I thought, let's start there. I'll have a beer and a Bitcoin. And, you know, I definitely want to go into those kind of environments. And I definitely encourage people to, you know, check out your meetups too. That's exactly the type of stuff I want to do too. We just kind of had similar minds, but just, you know, we started on different legs.
Now, I have to ask you, I think I told you a little bit about my background, though, David. I am an urban farmer. I own a company called MicroGreens LA, microgreensla.com, for anyone interested in microgreens. But I needed to find something to generate more income. I found it. I'm now a cryptocurrency consultant and a masternode consultant. And I've gone full time. I mean, I am a full time cryptocurrency consultant. How long will it be, David, before you go full time?
Oh, I'm actually pretty much full time now. I've been transitioning away from my, you know, in real life job to this through mining, trading. And one of the best years ever of Bitcoin, you know, I've made up enough goals and a roadmap to where, you know, for the next couple of years, I really want to be able to my time and my knowledge already to this. And then also just be in a space that's really growing. It's kind of like the share economy, you know, that's forming with Uber and Lyft and all of the, you know, mechanisms and that we're getting now at a touch of a button. I see cryptocurrency just morphing and enabling more and more things like that, where the two will finally collide and we're in our new 21st century economy. So, I'm so excited for this space and for this happening. And SoCal, I think there's going to be more conversations like this that prove it won't be a bubble. It'll just be very volatile in the beginning, like everything else, until hopefully it reaches a space where it could simmer volatility, but it almost won't matter at that point.
Now, one more, you know, there's many, many topics. We'll talk some more tonight when I see you. But, David, Eastman Kodak is 130 years old. And Eastman Kodak, has just announced that they are going to be releasing their own cryptocurrency coin called Kodak Coin. You can find out more, ladies and gentlemen, at kodakcoin.com. Could not be easier. Did you hear about this, David?
I did. I have a unique lens, at least on it. This is only my point of view, you know, from my perspective. Is you would ask yourself, what value would Kodak bring with a cryptocurrency? And I'm not going to argue that they can't. It just seems to me highly unlikely. And it reminds me of coins that come and go within a month. And that's kind of where, you know, definitely keep the eye out for those things where some projects, you know, come on and you think it'll only be for a month. And then here we are years later and that coin is now a top 20, you know, huge use coin. I look at things like that and some of the all the get rich quick schemes that are popping up and say, you know, we could be heading into a true market correction that will last maybe 6 months to a year. And that's the absolute best time to be getting into cryptocurrency. That's when people are usually exiting. And you will learn way more operating in this down market than in the last 8 months with this huge upswing. And that's just where connecting with the right people and building that community.
This is a time when Warren Buffett is the greatest voice in history, the greatest investment voice in history. If you listen closely to his previous advice, what does Warren Buffett say? He says when there's blood in the streets, that is when it's best to buy. And he has a whole series of sayings. I'm blanking on the one that I'm really looking for. But the bottom line is when the headlines are cryptocurrency fails, cryptocurrency crashes, that's when you should sell the house and buy as much as you can. that's what Warren Buffett did basically in the 1930s. He has many stories. He talks about the Depression when people were panicking and quote unquote, you know, the archetypal, you know, stock trader jumping out of windows in 1929. Warren Buffett went on a buying spree that lasted 2 decades. And he bought everything he could. He raised more money and bought everything he could. And then he raised more money and bought everything he could. And when he came out of that period, from the, I would say the early 40s, his path was set to become the greatest investor of the 20th century. Because he just bought quality companies that could not fail and would not fail, and quality assets, and he continued to buy more throughout his career. David, it's been an amazing discussion with you. People, I don't know.
Absolutely.
The normal audience that listens to this show, the South Bay Show, are getting something entirely new. The concept of masternodes and cryptocurrencies. But I have to say about Kodak. Kodak is also an ICO. Kodak Coin is an ICO, and it goes off. If you go to kodakcoin.com, you're going to see a timer, which is currently at 19 days, 15 hours, and 2 minutes. And that's when an ICO that can only – the only people that can participate, credited investors and institutions. Kodak has gone through the hoops that the SEC requires for ICOs in particular. This is not what's called a utility token. This isn't an actual stock token. And you will be buying a piece of the Kodak One, as they're calling it, the Kodak One business in 19 days, 15 hours, and 2 minutes, it should update now. It's not updating. But the bottom line is, I know it seems counterintuitive, but also it brings up the whole concept of ICOs. So in just like 30 seconds, David, what is an ICO? Oh, I lost you. Oh, bummer. Oh. I lost David, ladies and gentlemen. Hopefully he'll come back.
Hi, Joe. Sorry about that. Technical difficulty.
Hey. Yeah. We've just got 90 seconds to go, David. Again, give people the information that you would like them to have to find out more about South Bay Crypto, and tell them about the event tonight.
Great. Yeah, you can go on meetup.com and search for South Bay Cryptocurrency or Crypto, and you will find our meetup. We're meeting at Hudson House tonight. That's in Redondo Beach. It starts at 5:30. Everybody's welcome. We're going to just have a few drinks and, you know, get things started, find out where people are at in this cryptocurrency realm, and hopefully get some great learning and connections going on.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. And ladies and gentlemen, you can find out more about me and my cryptocurrency adventures at bitcoin-doctor.com, bitcoin-doctor.com, or masternodeconsulting.com. Thank you for joining us for this first ever cryptocurrency show on the South Bay Show. Thank you, David Howard, for joining us today, and we'll see you tonight. I can't wait. It's going to be exciting. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. We'll see you soon. Bye-bye.